First base side of the rubber. That's Ulrich holding on. McIntosh at first base. The 2-2. That one in there for a call. Third strike. The late steal from McIntosh. He slides in safely, trying to take home is Boston, and he is out at the plate. That's the second time that's happened tonight for Wisconsin Rapids. Ending the inning on the bases. They still send seven to the plate. They get the lead back by scoring three times. We head to the top of the eighth, two up for Battle Creek. It's their top of the order, Mason Hamlin, Alex Fernandez, and Aiden Arbogast. The left-hander from Alabama State, Juan Berrios, will enter the fray in a couple minutes. You're listening to Rafter Baseball, a 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Summer is finally here and outdoor adventure awaits. Get your adventure rolling with a camper from Greenway RV. As a family-owned dealership with nine top 50 dealer awards for excellent customer service, they know the importance of quality time with loved ones. Plus, as a Route 66 network dealer, you can travel with peace of mind knowing help is just a phone call away. So kick off your next adventure with Greenway RV. You know you're in good hands. 8220 Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids or online at greenwayrv.com.
Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
With combined decades of experience, the team at Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help with exterior projects ranging from siding, roofing, windows, and gutters. The new exterior showroom helps complete the 3D visualizer picture and will bring any project you're dreaming of to life. Wisconsinites know the weather changes fast and can be unforgiving. Call 715-423-5616 for a dedicated and caring team that will be there to help from start to finish. Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
It's Juan Berrios for the Rafters, and they lead it by two in the top of the eighth. 8-6 the score, the first of two between them and the Battle Creek Battle Jacks on this fine Tuesday night in Wisconsin Rapids. Andy Ockham, your voice, the Rafters, back here with you on WFHR. Thank you so much for spending your Tuesday night with us. Sun has gone down, the lights are out, and the Rafters are six outs away from starting a winning streak here at Witter Field after beating Lakeshore 15-8 yesterday. Two up in this inning. It's the top of the order for Battle Creek. Righty-lefty-righty, Mason Hamlin, Alex Fernandez, and Aiden Arbogast. For Berrios, he last worked at Madison on June 13th in that 5-4 loss to the Mallards, game one of that two-game series in the state capitol. Showing bunt is Hamlin on the first delivery. It misses outside, though, for Berrios for ball one. Three appearances for Juan this season, the freshman from Puerto Rico and Alabama State. Three and a third. He does have a save that came in his second appearance as a Rafter at La Crosse last Monday. 1-0 to the right-handed hitting. Hamlin catches the back door for a called strike. Let's get to Madison, though. That last outing, a third of an inning, one hit allowed, no runs, one walk, no strikeouts. He faced five Mallard hitters that night. Max Whitesell, the right-hander, from Ohio Dominican, I guess we can now say from Wright State, throwing down the right field line. The Rafter closer so far this season. A 1-1 fastball from Berrios misses high. Juan will get to face the lone lefty in the Battle Jack order with Alex Fernandez on deck. Berrios has allowed one earned run this season. That was in his first outing here at Witter Field against Madison on June 7th. That was the 6-2 defeat for the Rafters on that pinch hit grand slam from Mallard catcher David Whittle. The 1-1 misses low and is blocked by Duggar. Two balls and a strike now on the Battle Jack designated hitter. Hamlin, 1-for-4 today, doubled in his last trip to the plate in the sixth inning. 3-1 the count. Berrios set. He fires. This is high, ball four. Five pitch walk drawn by Hamlin. Leadoff man on base here for Battle Creek in the eighth inning. Scoring across is as follows for Battle Creek, 2 in the 2nd, 6th, and 7th. Rafters 5 in the 4th, 3 in the 7th. 5 runs in that inning really got it started for Wisconsin Rapids. The board reads as follows in right field. 6 runs on 10 hits and no errors for the visiting Battle Jacks. 8 runs on 15 hits and 2 errors for Wisconsin Rapids. Fernandez showing bunt first pitch, makes contact as this one's fouled to the screen. McIntosh, the third baseman of the Rafters, playing in, well in front of the bag. Fernandez has reached in all four of his plate appearances tonight. Base hit in the first, drew a seven-pitch walk in the third, bunted his way aboard to lead off the fifth, and reached on an error in the sixth. That being a throwing error from new Raptors shortstop Tracer Lopez that went in and out of the glove of Max McGuire. 0-1 pitch. We'll see if Fernandez shows here. Taking a long pause is one. Fernandez does not. Swinging and missing on that outer edge delivery from Berrios to make it nothing and two. On deck is Arbogast, Caden Wotipka to follow. Juan looks in and has his decision from Cashel Duggar with six on the pitch clock. Juan's gotten himself into a couple pitch clock violations this season. With two, he fires. This one fouled away from Fernandez right behind home plate. Nick Paulson again. He is spry out of that Raptor dugout. He's being the ball boy tonight, as we've mentioned, and the Balsam Lake, Wisconsin native has not failed to give some entertainment. Him being a local as well beyond the third base dugout, he's getting some cheers every time he heads out to retrieve a foul ball. 0-2 remains the count on the center fielder, Fernandez. Raptors looking to retire him for the first time tonight. Another delivery from Juan Berrios. Breaking ball, missing low. Good 0-2 delivery there from the southpaw. Count moves to a ball and two strikes. Each team using four arms. Mulamekic, Thornton, Weisinger, and now Berrios for Wisconsin Rapids. For Battle Creek, Jared Hughes, Adrian Rubio, Connor Foley, and Jack Messmore. The right-hander Messmore allowing three runs in the seventh. First runs he's allowed all season as the 1-2 pitch is swung on and missed. Big-time strikeout there for Berrios, winning the battle of the sevens. And it's just a pitch away from getting Wisconsin Rapids back into the dugout if he can get a ground ball here off the bat of Aiden Arbogast. Arbogast, the right-handed hitting right fielder, has not reached tonight. Hit to a 5-4-3 inning-ending double play in the first, struck out swinging in the third, flew out to center field and Owen McElpatrick in the fifth, and most recently grounded out back to the mound with Maddox Thornton in the sixth to end the inning. First pitch from Berrios to Arbogast, misses up and out for a ball. We didn't finish looking over the Northwoods League scoreboard. That being a big thing here tonight. Lacrosse over Eau Claire, a high-scoring affair at Carson Park, home of the Express. It is 9-8 Loggers, top seven. Berrios set the 1-0. This one hit on a line left field. Walker Buchanan coming in on it. It's going to drop in front for a base hit. Hamlin to second. First hit of the inning in the 11th of the ballgame from Battle Creek. Two aboard with one down for Caden Wotipka. Some Great Lakes West action. Hare Baker Field, Fond du Lac, and Green Bay, the bottom two teams in the Great Lakes West Division, duking it out. It is 7-6 Dock Spiders, top eight in Fondy. Wausau leads Lakeshore big at home at Athletic Park. It is 9-1 Woodchucks over the Chinooks in the top of the eighth inning. First pitch to Wotipka, breaking ball, missing the outside corner for ball one. Badlands taking on Mankato at ISG Field, home of the Moondogs. 4-2, Badlands leads it. The Big Sticks, four runs on two hits. Mankato, two runs on 10 hits. The Moondogs just not executing when it matters the most tonight. The 1-0 to the cleanup hitter in the Battle Creek order is lined foul down the third baseline. Ricocheting nearing the army that is down the left field line of the Raptor bullpen. I want to say that's every single pitcher the Raptors have, even starters down the left field line, because that is a lot of people. You look at each bullpen, I would say there's a significant amount more of Raptor pitchers than Battle Creek pitchers down there tonight. 1-1 the count, one out, first and second. Berrios dealing with some traffic. Set. Runner takes off to third. This one misses inside. Duggar's throw to third. Not in time. That kicks away from McIntosh. Hamlin is going to score. No throw at the plate. Battle Creek within one run. It's 8-7. Staying at first during that whole sequence is Arbogast. Another error for the Raptors. Now 15 runs scored in this game tonight. Pitch missed on Wotipka as well. It's now 2-1. Kirk Schreider not happy out of the Raptor dugout. Heated conversation here with Tyler Melhop. I think he's looking about interference or that one kicking away like we saw in the other at-bat. Sending a runner back to second base. I don't think Schrider's going to win this argument here. And now there's going to be a conference between the three umpires. Can Kirk Schrider's magic overturn this call? Seven runs on 11 hits, no errors to the Battle Jacks. Eight runs on 15 hits and two errors to the Rafters. A high-scoring first game of this two-game set. Rounding out our scoreboard update in the Northwoods League, some softball going on in lacrosse, the second of a doubleheader between the Steam and the Nightmares of Madison. It is 3-1 Steam in the top of the sixth. Really cool initiative introducing the softball league, and obviously Northwoods League baseball adding two more teams this summer, the Badlands Big Sticks, the Royal Oaks Leprechauns, making it a 26-team league. Most teams in a league in terms of collegiate summer ball to be offered. Standings heading into tonight. Start out in the Great Lakes East, because that does apply to the visiting Battle Jacks. First place entering tonight, 14-6 Rockford. They're 2.5 up on the 12-9 Kingfish. As now, out of the meeting between the three umpires, Tyler Melchop and the crew chief, Brett Myler, calling over the field manager of Battle Creek, Ben Harley. So you know this can't be good news for the visitors. It could be good news for the Rafters, though, because they're going to have to explain to him that, hey, we're probably going to overturn this call. So you could be seeing Hamlin head back to second base. In the Great Lakes East, outside of Kenosha, Battle Creek tied for third with Kalamazoo entering tonight. Both teams 11-9, both teams 3 out of first place. Royal Oak winning a game tonight, moving them to 11-10. The Leprechauns on a 3-game winning streak are 3.5 out of first place. Traverse City dropping their last two ball games. They were at one point 10-5 this year. They're now 10-11. I should say they were at 9-5, winning one of their last handful. They're 4.5 out at 10-11 on the season, and Kokomo bringing up the rear, 4-game losing streak for the Jackrabbits, 10.5 out of first place with a 3-16 record. Now, Ben Harley leaving the conference with the crew chief and Tyler Melhop, absolutely furious, being sent back to his dugout. And they're going to send Hamlin back to second base on that encounter. So my scorecard's going to look a little messy here for Mason Hamlin's time around the bases. So he's heading to second. He'll stay there. 2-1 the count on Wotipka with one away in this 8-6 ball game now. Great Lakes West Division entering today. Wausau, winners of their last seven. The Woodchucks are 17-3. Madison in second place, 14-5 and 2.5 out. Lakeshore at 10-9. They're 6.5 back and in third place. The Rafters enter today in fourth place with a record of 8 wins and 11 losses, 8.5 out of Wausau. Bringing up the rear, the last two spots, the 7-10 Green Bay Rockers are 9.5 back. And the final act, Dock Spiders, an even 11 games out of first place with a 6-14 record through 20 games. Is still out of the dugout for Battle Creek. Is Ben Harley still barking at Tyler Melhop as a pinch runner now being brought into the ballgame in the spot of Aiden Arbogast. That's number 15, Josh Schleidhart. New runner aboard for Battle Creek, 8-6 the score. We resume play with a 2-1 count on the cleanup hitter, Wotipka. Barrio set. The left-hander peers back at second twice with 12 on the pitch clock. Rocks and fire. This one is on the inside corner for a called strike. We'll see how much more the zone could expand for the Rafters here with Ben Harley getting into this crew's ear a lot here tonight. You have to assume this is going to be the same crew tomorrow as well. The 2-2 from Barrios. Fouled back off the glove of Duggar. It's always tough when you're starting a series. You don't want to get on the wrong foot with those who determine a lot of things. For Josh Schleidhart, the runner on first from Clark College, the redshirt sophomore and Oregon native. Assuming he'll just enter the game in a straight-up swap for Arbogast in right field, listed as the only outfielder on the Battle Creek roster. 2-2 the count, one away. The cleanup hitter, Wotipka, awaits the next delivery. It misses way high. And a full count worked by Wotipka in his fifth trip to the plate here tonight. On deck, it's Sam DiCarlo. Xavier Ulrich will follow. We're nearing the three-hour mark of this ball game local time here at 6:35 first pitch. Hour, I should say 2 hours and 40 minutes on this next pitch, the 3-2. This one hit on the air, the infield. Trotter Boston saying, I have no idea where it's at, but Tracer Lopez does. Right behind the mound, the shortstop comes in to make the grab for the second out of the inning. Hamlin on second, Schlihart on first. Sam DiCarlo, who has reached in three of his four trips to the plate tonight, steps in. DiCarlo has scored twice, drew a five-pitch walk in the second and scored, single to lead off the fourth, went down swinging against Maddox Thornton to end the fifth, and most recently tripled and scored with one out in the seventh. Lefty on righty battle here again for Berrios is calling time. Cashel Duggar, he'll make a trip out to the mound to talk it up with Berrios prior to throwing a pitch to the third baseman DiCarlo. Great Plains East staying on the division standings entering tonight for the Northwoods League. Thunder Bay on a three-game losing streak. They still hold a half-game lead at 11-7. Duluth trailing big right now. Two of the Rochester Honkers, they're 12-9 in that half-game out. Waterloo's at 10-8 and one game back. In fourth place, the 9-8 La Crosse Loggers are a game and a half out. Eau Claire, four games under 500, 9 wins, 13 losses entering play tonight. They sit four back of Thunder Bay. 4-16 are the aforementioned Honkers, 8 out of first. And then the traveling team, 36 road games for the Minnesota Mud Puppies. They'll come here to Witter Field in August. They're 1-6 and 4.5 out, losers of their last four. DiCarlo, a native of Signal Hill, California, gets a first-pitch breaking ball from Berrios in there for a called strike. Great Plains West, they're led by the lone team in the Northwoods League to win over 50 games last year. They're the Wilmer Stingers, winners of their last two. The Stingers are 11-8 entering play tonight. They hold just a half-game lead on the 10-8 Mankato Moondogs and the 11-5 Bismarck Larks. Berrios set the 0-1. This one misses low to even the count at a ball and a strike. Badlands Big Sticks are 10-10 in a game and a half behind Wilmer in fourth place. Fifth place, St. Cloud, 8 wins, 10 losses, 2.5 back. And rounding it out are the 7-8 Minot Hot Tots, 3.5 back. Great Plains West, a tight division, the tightest of the four by far. 1-1 from Berrios. This one hit in the air, left field. Buchanan coming in on it, laying out. He makes the grab. Walker Buchanan saves a run and keeps the ball game here at 8-6. How do you like them apples, Wisconsin Rapids? As a scoreless top of the eighth for Juan Berrios. Leaving two on is Battle Creek. We head to the home half of the frame. Top of the order, two up. That's McElfatrick, that's Lopez, and that's Jorge Degatti here on your home of the Rafters, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
At CBD American Shaman, we're here to support your journey to wellness with legal hemp-derived products. Our certified CBD consultants offer a clinical approach to meet your specific needs, whether it's easing chronic discomfort, reducing stress, or improving sleep. We're passionate educators helping you understand the benefits of hemp without the stigma. Discover the natural, legal way to a balanced life at CBD American Shaman. Visit us today and experience the difference.
Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Let's scream! For Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, Wisconsin.
Enjoy the best ice cream for miles. From opening day to all those summer nights, you'll find the owners and staff there to serve you, and you'll recommend it to others too.
Great family-owned business. Love seeing their smiling faces. You just know they love being there. They go above and beyond for their customers. Ice cream is great too. So many different choices. There's something for everyone.
Swiftwater Ice Cream, where the choices and fun are endless.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
It's the redshirt sophomore from Michigan State University in Libertyville, Illinois, Michael Adari, to enter the ballgame. 8-6 Rafters over the Battle Creek Battle Jacks at historic Witter Field on this wonderful June Tuesday night. Top of the order, do it for the Rafters. Andy Ockham, your voice, the Rafters back here with you on WFHR, locally grown radio. You can catch all 72 games here all season long. Mac O'Patrick has reached once today. He drew a five-pitch walk back in the bottom of the fourth. Righty-on-righty battle. Adari's first pitch is a breaking ball in the inside corner that's called a strike. Adari worked three games for Battle Creek a season ago. He's worked seven so far for the Battle Jacks this summer. The 0-1 to the Raptors center fielder is an off-speed delivery fouled away. Adari worked two and a third innings shutout with no hits, three walks, and three strikeouts, facing nine Rockford Rivet hitters and that 8-9 loss, 9-8 loss on June 12th. The 0-2. McElpatrick throws his hands on that breaking ball. It's going to drop into left center field for a base hit. McElpatrick aboard for the second time tonight, and it'll bring up Tracer Lopez. Lopez 1-for-4 in his Raptor debut tonight, a huge RBI single in the home half of the fourth, being his first hit with the team, looking to make it a multi-hit game in his debut. McElpatrick single, the 16th hit for the Raptors tonight. Adari, the right-hander, set, third base side of the rubber out of the stretch. First pitch breaking ball to Lopez, misses for ball one. So far this year in seven games, 9 2/3 innings pitched for Adari. He's allowed four hits, three runs, all of which have been earned. Has got 13 punch-outs, but has control issues as well, walking 12 hitters of the 43 he has faced. A 2.79 ERA, though, and a 1.66 whip. Last season in Battle Creek, made three appearances through five innings, allowed seven hits, seven runs, all of which were earned and walked six while striking out three. An ERA ballooned over 12 at 12.6 and a whip over 2.5, facing 28 hitters a summer ago. Looking at the scoring, two in the second, two in the sixth, and two in the seventh for Battle Creek. For the Raptors, five in the fourth, three in the seventh. Whole lot of fun, exciting action tonight. Clutch hitting, diving plays for the Raptors. You saw Walker Buchanan make one to get out of the previous inning as a 1-0 breaking ball, missing arm side from the right-hander. Make it two balls and no strikes. Jorge Degatti is on deck. Max McGuire will follow him. Raptors looking for even more insurance for the bullpen and Max Whitesell getting loose still right now. 2-0, misses outside. Three balls and no strikes on the Texas Tech Red Raider, Tracer Lopez. Josh Schlihart, he entered in the ballgame as a pinch runner for Aiden Arbogast an inning ago. He stays in the ballgame and will play right field for Battle Creek. 3-0 pitch, misses outside. Tracer Lopez draws a four-pitch walk. He's on base for the second time here tonight. For Jack Messmore, the right-hander, allowing his first runs of the season out of the bullpen for Battle Creek. He threw 24 pitches in that seventh inning. Allowed five hits, three runs, all were earned. No walks and two strikeouts. That walk issued from Adari, just the fourth walk issued to Raptor hitting tonight. First and second, nobody down. Degatti corners in. First pitch breaking ball from the right-hander catches the outer third of the zone for a called strike. When we get to the top of the ninth, 6-7-8 Ulrich Garza Pruitt to up against the Raptor bullpen. Adari comes set. Big spot here for the middle of the order. The 0-1. Degatti fouls this one away down the first base side. Quickly 0-2 on the returning Raptor who led the team in batting average a season ago. Out of the four returners this year, Paulson, Ferry, Brandon Scott, and Degatti, Jorge the lone position player. The 0-2, this is away. And I'd mentioned this early on when he joined the team in his first week, and I'll say it again. You would think that Jorge, this was the exact same group of guys he played with a summer ago. He's a major glue guy, he's a leader in the clubhouse, and he meshes with this new group so well. 1-2 breaking ball misses inside. He's worked an even count here. Degatti usually one of the guys having the most fun on the bus, whether they're playing one of the team games or he's the ringleader, yelling out funny jokes. The 2-2 fastball misses up and in from 0-2 to full here in Degatti. He likes to keep it loose, but he's one of the more locked-in guys you'll see in the batting cage. 3-2 the count. On second is Mac O'Patrick. Lopez on first. Plenty of speed on the bases for the Raptors as they lead by two in the home half of the eighth. The payoff. Breaking ball on the outside corner. Got him looking. Degatti down on strikes for the second time here this evening. Max McGuire will step in with two on and one out. McGuire tonight has reached three times. He's got two hits. Threw a six-pitch walk to begin his day in the second, singled and scored in the fourth. Flew out to right field in the fifth inning, singled and scored in the seventh. The 0-0 pitch. Fastball in there for a called strike, working middle there was the right-hander. Buchanan on deck, then it's Trotter Boston. Max Whitesell, full motion, getting loose now down the left field line. A chance for the Raptor closer and a potential save opportunity. The 0-1, breaking ball, swung on and missed. Max in the hole here at 0-2. We'll see what Adari goes with to try and put him away. Adari set, looks back at McElpatrick, a 5 on the pitch clock, the 0-2. Pulled that fastball, it misses in the left-handed batter's box. McGuire looking for a pitch to drive here, but he's got to be expecting off-speed here on the 1-2, especially after just seeing a heater. 27 combined hits tonight. McGuire looking to make it 28 in a big way here, the 1-2. Breaking ball, got him swinging. Back-to-back punch-outs for Adari. Two down in the frame, and it'll be up to Walker Buchanan. Buchanan's reached twice tonight. His first extra base hit as Raptor came just an inning ago, an RBI double in the seventh, and later scored. Trotter Boston would love a chance to get up with multiple runners in scoring position. Buchanan a chance to provide just that here. First pitch to Buchanan. Check swing on that breaking ball. A devastating slider that Buchanan went right through. Couldn't hold up there, and he'll go to work here down 0-1. Raptor dugout, barking out at Buchanan as the 0-1 fastball is there at the top of the zone. 0-2 now on the Raptor left fielder. For Max Whitesell, he'll enter if this score holds with a two-run lead. And all his save opportunities this year, a two-run lead is the biggest he's had. He entered with a two-run lead against Lakeshore on June 2nd. Other than that, it's been one-run contest for the right-hander. 0-2 breaking ball, got him swinging. Adari gives up a single to McElpatrick and walks Lopez for the first two hitters in the inning. But he strikes out the three biggest bats possible. Degatti, McGuire, then Buchanan. 8-6 the score. It is Max Whitesell time. Here in Wisconsin Rapids, we'll be back in a couple minutes for the top of the ninth inning. Battle Creek setting up their 6-7-8 spots. Ulrich, Garza, Pruitt, don't go anywhere. It's Raptor Baseball. As always, on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, or on your Civic Media apps. Either way, it's WFHR and it's locally grown radio.
Finding your next vehicle is easy when you visit the team at 8th Street Auto in Wisconsin Rapids. The wide selection of quality used vehicles is out of the park. From cost-effective daily drivers to luxury cars that match your style, you can find the ride you've been searching for. Make a line drive over after the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors game and discover award-winning service from the professional automotive team at 8th Street Auto at 4390 8th Street South, a proud supporter of the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors.
Go yard this summer with special rebates from Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. Right now, you can upgrade to a new Bryant AC and get up to $1,650 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. It's a surefire way to beat the summer heat and walk off in style. Comfort Air, your local experts doing whatever it takes to keep you comfortable.
Hurry! This offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfortaire.biz.
You've been listening to Raptor Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Pro Seamless of Wisconsin, Swiftwater Ice Cream, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Raptors Baseball here on WFHR all summer long or check us out on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.
It's a save opportunity at Witter Field in the top of the ninth inning. You know what that means. It's Max Whitesell time. The right-hander, formerly of Ohio Dominican, now of Wright State in his hometown of Dayton, Ohio. gets the 6, 7, 8 spots in the Battle Creek order. Game one of this two-game series in Wisconsin Rapids. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Raptors, back with you as always on WFHR. First pitch to Evan Ulrich, the right-handed hitting first baseman, misses high for ball one. Whitesell, an inning thrown, and for once a non-save or non-tied game in the ninth. He threw in that 9-0 loss to Lakeshore on Saturday. 1-0 to Ulrich, swung on and missed. Base the minimum, a 1-2-3 inning for Whitesell on Saturday. Struck out two of the three Chinook batters that faced him. Prior to that, it was the devastating grand slam he allowed against David Whittle. The 1-1 pitch fouled back. It was 2-2, top nine, one out, bases juiced, and Whittle off the bench swatted one over the right field wall. If it wasn't for that homer, Whitesell would yet to have allowed an earned run this season. He has been lights out as the closer for the Raptors. 1-2 coming here to Ulrich. Whitesell rocks and fires. He struck him out. 80 on the slider for Whitesell. One down here in the ninth. Eddie Garza out of the seventh spot and the second baseman for Battle Creek. He has reached twice tonight, most recently an RBI single in the top of the seventh. It's tough to see for Whitesell. Four saves. It picked up three in the first week alone. First pitch to him. Swung on and missed. Garza very, very late on that fastball. 91 on the Winterfield gun. Entire Raptor bullpen is in the dugout right now. Top step cheering on their closer. The 0-1. Fastball again. Late again is Garza. He hits this one foul down the third baseline and out of play. The 0-2 to Garza, fastball, got him swinging. Max Whitesell, good morning, good afternoon, good night on that 93-mile-an-hour heater. Two up, two down in the ninth, both by way of the K. David Pruitt, the right-handed hitting catcher. He has reached twice tonight, brought home a run on his squeeze bunt in the second, singled in the fourth, doubled and scored in the sixth. Most recently was robbed of a hit on a diving play by Kyler McIntosh. In the seventh, first pitch to him from Whitesell, misses inside. Max Whitesell in pursuit of his fifth save of the summer. Only other two Raptors to collect the save, a pair of left-handers out of the pen, Alex Honeyman and Juan Berrios, the 1-0. Fastball, this one fouled back. Right after the wall, the press box up top. We're all good, it created a dent as well. Courtesy of Daniel Pruitt. Count evens a ball and a strike. That was oh so close. That's the closest it's been to our window all season. 1-1 coming here from Whitesell. Fastball on the outside corner is called a strike. 1-2 the count. Two outs. Nobody aboard. Max Whitesell, can he strike out the side here in the ninth? On deck is the shortstop Fiorenza. The 1-2, slider missing away. In the bottom third of the Battle Creek order, Whitesell does not want to face the top. He wants to do it right here. Striking out the first two hitters. 2-2 the count, two outs. 8-6 Raptors. For the fifth save of the season, Whitesell set the payoff. This one hit in the air, that'll get foul beyond the first base grandstand. Six runs on 11 hits, no errors for the Battle Jacks. For the Raptors tonight, eight runs on 16 hits and two errors. Looking to get their ninth win of the season. Right-hander set and fires. That one just misses the outside corner. A full count worked here by Pruitt with two outs and nobody aboard. Raptor dugout continuing to bark out at Whitesell. One strike away. The 3-2. This one hit in the air right field. It sends Degatti back, but well playable. Jorge comes in, and he's got it. Ball game over. It's a 1-2-3 top of the ninth. Max Whitesell all smiles as he embraces Cashel Duggar for a hug out in front of the mound. The Raptors have won their last two ball games, taking down Battle Creek tonight by a score of 8-6. 6 runs on 11 hits, no errors for the Battle Jacks. 8 runs on 16 hits and 2 errors for the Rafters. We'll be back in a couple minutes for your official Rafters postgame show, wrapping out the victory tonight on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress? Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right. The environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead. Ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-bodded dad to eat more plants. For the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Put it in the books. It's another Rafter victory here tonight at historic Witter Field. 8-6 the final in the first of a two-game series and the first of four this year for the Battle Creek Battle Jacks. Andy Ockham on WFHR. Rafters Radio, you can catch all 72 games here all season long. If you missed it today, you missed a fun one for a second straight contest. Starting out the scoring, Battle Creek putting up two in the top of the second after Rafter starter Arnaud Mulemekic walking two of the first three batters he saw that inning. It was small ball for Battle Creek that got them on the board. Eddie Garza reaching on an error later, bringing in a run. Daniel Pruitt, the catcher for Battle Creek, bunting a runner on via a squeeze to make it 2-0. The Rafters, though, putting up a five spot in the bottom of the fourth. Another big inning, not as big as the 14-run sixth inning that we saw on Sunday, but still setting 10 to the plate and scoring five times in the fourth. Base hits from Jorge Degatti, Max McGuire, an RBI knock from Trotter Boston. Cashel Duggar's big two-run single as well, plate effect in that inning. And how about Tracer Lopez rounding out the scoring in that fifth in that five-inning frame, an RBI knock to make it 5-2. Battle Creek would chip back with a two-run sixth and then put up two in the seventh off the Rafter bullpen to make it 6-5, but it was a three-run bottom of the seventh post-seventh-inning stretch juice for Wisconsin Rapids. It was the 3-4-5 spots, singles from Jorge Degani and Max McGuire allowed for an RBI double for Walker Buchanan. Trotter Boston, the big knock today, adding some insurance to make it 8-6 on his RBI single. Juan Berrios and Max Whitesell took care of the rest in the eighth and the ninth innings, slamming the door shut. Jared Hughes got the ball today for Battle Creek. The right-hander went 3 1/3, allowed 7 hits, 5 runs, all of which were earned. Walked one and struck out two in the 63 pitches he threw. From there, it was Adrian Rubio, Connor Foley, Jack Messmore, and Michael Adari making up the rest of the ballgame on the Battle Creek side. The Raptors' Arnaud Mulemekic made his fourth start of the season tonight. It was his first start here in Wisconsin Rapids since his first start of the season on May 30th against Waterloo. He threw 3 innings tonight, allowed 1 hit, 2 runs, 1 was earned, walked 3, and did not strike out a hitter for the first time in a start this season on the 57 tosses he threw. As usual, like we saw last Tuesday in Green Bay, Maddox Thornton followed up Mulemekic with 3 innings. The right-hander from Texas A&M Corpus Christi allowed 6 hits, 2 runs, 1 was earned. He walked 1 hitter and struck out 3 on the 49 pitches he threw. Final 3 innings were made up of Jack Weisinger, Juan Berrios, and Max Whitesell. Weisinger, the right-hander from Pomona Pitzer, making his Winterfield debut tonight. Not the way he would have wanted it to go, allowing 3 hits, 2 runs, and allowed the lead to Battle Creek in that top of the seventh. Berrios, though, working a scoreless eighth, and Max Whitesell picking up his 5th save of the season, working a 1-2-3 top of the ninth. Time of the game tonight, 2 hours, 57 minutes, 745 wonderful Rafter fans here in attendance. And it was a scorcher today as well, so the fans, as the sun was still up in the first couple hours of the game, sitting through it and enjoying a fantastic Rafter victory for their 9th win of the season. We'll be back here tomorrow night, same time, same place, same opponent, Battle Creek 635 from historic Winterfield. 8-6 the final, 6 runs on 11 hits, no errors, 11 left on for Battle Creek, 8 runs on 16 hits and 2 errors for Wisconsin Rapids, leaving 10 on the bases. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to tonight's presentation of Rafter Baseball on your home of the Rafters, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, or on your Civic Media apps. Either way, here on WFHR and locally grown radio. Andy Ockham signing off for now. We'll see you tomorrow night at Winterfield. Rafters win the first of this series with Battle Creek.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some.
This is a great project where you actually have an orchard out there and folks are growing great food and you have healing spaces and sweat lodges and they are growing tons of different food. They do native medicines like sage and lemongrass and that kind of stuff. There's definitely sweetgrass. There's definitely different projects that are happening that are all like unique to the neighborhood organizations and unique to the neighborhoods that are being funded out there, and they really are impactful and they're creative, and the partnership gave it fun kind of allows for a different creativity than folks have seen in a more traditional neighborhood organization program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You did mention the applications are reviewed by community reviewers.
Correct.
Can you tell me what that is? And if somebody wanted to be a part of that process, is there an application for that? How do they get connected to participate in that?
So yeah, once a year, once the applications come in, so for next year, the 2025 will start opening for January, will be the applications for folks who are interested in applying for partnership engagement funds. And then when we get those applications in, we do a call out for neighborhoods and community. So it could be residents, neighborhood organizations, community members. We want as much people who are in community, youth, people of color, you know, young folks, elders, you know, to come in, and you can we put out a link through the website and you can sign up on the Gov Delivery to be of a reviewer and have an interest in being a reviewer. And then you come into the office and meet with other folks and we provide you lunch and we hang out all afternoon and you read the different proposals and grade the criteria and therefore review to make sure that it is equitable and the projects are meet within the criteria and that community gets to review and say, yes, this project sounds great, or this one does not meet the needs or doesn't meet the criteria, but it's community who is determining those applications and programs, projects to be funded. So it's community who wants these projects out there.
I really love that aspect, knowing that it's your community, it's your neighbors that are helping to decide where the funds are going.
Yes.
It's not left up to government bureaucrats like us that are going to say this is worthy, this isn't worthy, but it's your neighborhood, it's your community. So you have the buy-in happening when you start those projects. Yeah. I love that aspect, community reviewers. So I'm going to move on to Luke. So do you want to let us know why people should consider getting into their neighborhood organization, what kind of things that people can get involved in from your perspective?
Yes, absolutely. Gosh, I just think, like, I love going outside and walking down. One of my favorite things to do in the summer, maybe not in the winter in Minneapolis, is walking down the streets and seeing everyone on their porches outside and saying hello, having a short, you know, 5-minute conversation with people, right? To get that kind of connection, to get to know your neighbors. And I just feel like the reason to get involved in your neighborhood is everyone wants like a sense of self-determination. They want a sense of knowing what's going to happen in their neighborhood and having a say in what's going to happen. And so if you have, you know, outside developers coming in who haven't even talked to the community about their development project and do something or a business, and then it's bad on both ends because you have a community that doesn't want something. And you also have, say, a new business that no one goes to. So just like having for people who might be interested in getting involved, or my, I guess, pitch to people would be like, if you want to say in what's going to happen in your neighborhood, like you have that power, you have that. And like, we want to hear your voice. And I just think it's so important to bring people's voices up. And, so to do that, we just launched a new website, so you can see it at phillipsunited.org and sign up for our newsletter.
Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio.
Thank you. Thank you.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Dive into a world where tradition meets innovation, satire meets symbolism, and Native American art takes center stage. All My Relations Arts and the Native American Community Development Institute proudly unveil Alter Native by Frank Buffalo Hyde. Alter Native is an electrifying exhibition that uses satire to push boundaries and demand a closer look at the vibrant complexities of Native identity in today's world. So embrace the unexpected and challenge norms with Alter Native by Frank Buffalo Hyde, showing now at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Why must the world be so cold? They've gone against what was told. Thinking rape is cool? Think about it. They think it's not wrong. Violence against women, the rape, the abuse, the emotional, physical. They all hold the hate. Think about it. Is it right or wrong? What attracts you? I'm not saying no names, but you laugh. Talk about it like nothing is wrong. Think about it. They all hold the hate. Gotta stop the violence. Stop the hate. Think about it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This episode is in partnership with the City of Minneapolis and Minneapolis AIR American Indian Relations. Here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Good evening. Welcome back. Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. We're having our conversation with Victoria Belko, who is a Neighborhood Support Specialist with the Neighborhood Community Relations Department, and with Luke Gannon, who is the Director of Program and Engagement with the East Phillips Improvement Coalition. You go right back into our conversation. Luke, has EPIC done any work with the Native community in South Minneapolis, seeing that it is home to the highest population of American Indians in the city of Minneapolis?
Yes, and that's a great question. We have. So in the past, I know Victoria mentioned or talked about the partnership engagement funds. And another one of those that we did is with the Native Youth Arts Collective. And that the idea behind that one was to give youth at Little Earth who were interested in art, who wanted to be artists, typically young kids, basically like art packages where they would be able to, if they couldn't afford it, they could be able to just make art at home. And that ran, I think, in 2021, and it was a super successful project. More recently, it ended maybe 3 months ago now, we did a youth redesign workshop or series of workshops, the redesign of East Phillips in Cedar Park, because the park board right now is planning on redesigning them. So they're doing a community engagement process, and we partnered with them on that. And we did that with youth in the neighborhood, but specifically with Little Earth teenagers. It was all teenagers who engaged in this 3-workshop series and basically gave their ideas and their visions for how they wanted the 2 parks to look like, what they wanted to be there. And that was just an amazing, successful project. We ended up with a big report, a big mural of what they wanted in the parks that we presented to the park board, and that they presented to the park board, really, which was great. And what else? At the EPIC Community Garden, we partner with Dream of Wild Health, who has a couple of plots there, and they have done workshops there in the past. And we also work very closely with the East Phillips Neighborhood Institute, who have 2 board members who are Little Earth residents and who just have a vision for urban farming that's very rooted in indigenous practices and leadership.
Mm-hmm. So just quick, do you have any Native board members on EPIC?
We do. We have 1 Native board member on EPIC.
Nice. Okay. Yep. So there is always room for people to apply and become a board member.
Yes.
And with that, Victoria, would you be able to tell us more about what a board member does with a neighborhood organization?
Yeah. Board members play an important role in neighborhood organizations. They are the governing body over the neighborhood organization because they're a 501(c). So by law, you have to have a board of directors. And they really direct the high-level work of the neighborhood organization. And some organizations have staff and have executive directors who then direct the work. Some have contractors who contract a specific area of work to do for the organization, but the board of directors, they're the ones who are the leaders of the organization and really make sure that the organization is adhering to its mission, its goals, and do the high level, making sure that the program and services are meeting the needs of the neighborhood and the organization. So it's a really important role to be part of the board. It's a very impactful place to be. And people are always looking for new board members. And board directors for these neighborhood organizations are actually made up of community members. So you have to either live in the neighborhood or own a business in the neighborhood, work in the neighborhood. But it is the residents of the neighborhood who are the leaders of the organization driving the work.
That's awesome. Can you tell us how, if somebody wanted to run for a seat, how would they do that?
What you would do is you would contact the neighborhood organization that you want to be the board on and ask when their board elections are. And each neighborhood organization has an annual election for board election, so it's annually. And then see what the neighborhood organization has for open seats and then ask to run for the board. And each neighborhood organization has their own ways, bylaws of how they run their annual meetings and how you get on the board. But so it's individual through each organization, but it is made up of neighborhood members. So contact the organization. Hey, I want to run for the board. Mm-hmm. When's your annual meeting? When is it? When are seats open? and then do a board election where a lot is, it's the neighborhood votes you in. So you kind of tell who you are, why you want to run for the neighborhood organization, why you'd be good for this role. And then the neighborhoods vote, the neighborhood residents vote for the board members to be placed on the board.
So these, I think earlier in the conversation, it was mentioned that the each neighborhood organization is an actual 501c nonprofit organization, and they definitely have a charter. So it is really a pretty formal process to be voted in, and mm-hmm. it has term limits. It has, what do you call it, like... If you voted in, you're seated for a year, 2 years.
Each organization is different to how they seat their stuff. But board members cannot be on the board longer than 6 years consecutively. Is how the city for the city funding for the neighborhood organizations. But outside of that, the neighborhood could do it. You know, 1 year or is it 2 years? It depends on how they want to run it. But you can't be on there longer than 6 years, which allows for more folks to be able to be on boards, more folks to be able to be a participant, and. Not stagnate the board work.
Is it typically a highly competitive process, or is it kind of like, are you operating as on a full board, or are there vacancies?
There are some, you know, organizations who have bigger boards than others. Each neighborhood organization is different. Some have large boards and they have a lot of folks trying to run, and some folks have smaller boards and open seats, and whoever runs gets on and gets placed because that's how it showed up. So it's a kind of who shows up and what the openings are, but it's not too competitive, you know. But it's, we want community members to be on the boards to lead the work.
So do all organizations have the same number of board members? Do they get the same amount of funding?
No, each neighborhood organization, because they are their own 501c, they have their own bylaws, their own rules, and their own ways of how they structure their nonprofit organization. So based on that is how the board members are. So some might have a board of 15, while some have 7. And that all depends on that neighborhood structure of how they chose to individually as a nonprofit put together their board.
Okay. Can you tell us how people can connect with their neighborhood organization?
Yeah. One of the best ways is to go on the city webpage. We have a city webpage where we have the, I can put the link on radio. Go to the city webpage where we have a neighborhood page where it pops up all of the neighborhoods in the city of Minneapolis, and you just click on the link that has your neighborhood, and then that props up their information, their contact information, their email, their website, that kind of stuff, to be able to get a lot involved in your neighborhood.
Okay, so it's easy to find. You can go to the city website, MinneapolisMN.gov, and you can search for neighborhood organization.
Yeah, we go to our neighborhood page, through the NCR page,
okay,
and then look for it under neighborhoods, and they will pop up the map. And you can click on the organizations.
A map. So if you don't know what your neighborhood organization name is, you'll be able to find it on the website as well.
Yeah, so there's a map on the left side of the webpage, and then there's all the list of the organizations on the right to be able to match you up.
That is cool. That makes it easy.
Yeah.
Luke, so how can people get involved specifically with EPIC?
Yes. So we have our office located on Bloomington Avenue. It's right in East Phillips, kind of on the border between East and Midtown Phillips. And we're here. You can walk into the office and hang out with us if you want during the week and ask us questions and see how you can get involved. You also can call us. If you look up the East Phillips Improvement Coalition, you'll find a number, and you can give us a ring or email us. We'll respond to you as quickly as we can. Or you can just go to our website and sign up for our newsletter if you just want news updates.
And did you say that office was staffed 5 days a week?
It is 4 days a week.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. I want to thank you guys for joining me this afternoon. We had a great conversation.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a special hump day edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. Crute and I will get over our Shark Week hangover in one day.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.